Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We're live on the Roar on a Tuesday, May the 19th, 2020. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quagamush, Kelly Gramlich from the Priority One Security Studios, part of the number one security.com. Priority One Security, serious security. We're going to delve into a bunch of different things today. I have a quiz coming up later, and I'll be honest, I have little to no idea the nature of these questions, but we shall proceed into the abyss as we do on a weekly basis here on Trivia Tuesday. Kelly, how are you today?
Honestly, Quack, proceeding into the abyss has kind of been a theme for the past couple months in the world, so that's what we're doing. This quiz is maybe just a little bit of a microcosm. But I'm doing great, Quack. Happy to be here. Happy to chat. I have your quiz ready. It's been kind of a harder thing to do to think of your topics because we've been doing these quizzes now for a while, and I'm just trying to think of some stuff that is somewhat relevant to things we're talking about. And we found this article about the best hires in the last 25 years in college football. And so 1 through 10... they list 1 through 10. Dabo Sweeney's number 2 behind Saban at Bama. So what I did was I'm interested to see how you react to this. Questions 1 through 10. So question 1 is a question about Nick Saban's first season at Alabama. Question 2 is a question about Dabo Sweeney's first season at Clemson. Question 3 is a question about Pete Carroll's first season at Southern Cal. Question 4 is a question about Bob Stoops' first season at Oklahoma. And we go down to...
oh, man.
Number 5 is Urban at Ohio State. Number 6 is Urban at Florida. Number 7 is Saban at LSU. Number 8, Chris Peterson at Boise. Number 9, Mack Brown at Texas. And number 10, Gary Patterson at TCU. And it's all about their first seasons at those institutions.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. Really pulled that one out of somewhere, I'll tell you.
I thought about just memorizing who was on the list. Just memorize the list. And I was like, nah, that's dumb. She ain't going to do that. So I figured it'd be something along the lines of their careers, maybe their early careers or predecessors or something like that. I'm very intrigued, though. I'm excited to see where you went with this.
It should be a fun one. And it was also fun to look up. I tweeted out that we were doing this and to look up some old pictures of these coaches and just see. Ooh. Dabo looks like he's 12, literally, in 2008. And then you've got Nick Saban, who looks, I don't know, I kind of think Nick Saban almost looks the same at LSU when he was hired in 2000. And then Mack Brown at Texas in 98. Mack Brown looks very young in that picture. So that was also fun, too.
You know, I saw your pictures, and I saw Pete Carroll's, and the thought occurred to me, aren't we watching Trojan War this week? On 30 for Thursday,
ooh.
And in fact, we are watching Trojan War on 30
indeed,
for Thursday.
Indeed,
so
we are.
So that has a little bit of synergy there. So I'm excited to get into that. I feel like we should start the show. 654 Roar is the number. We're going to open up the phone lines early today in case folks have thoughts on what happened at Furman yesterday. I got to tell you, a little before 4, I got a tip that something was going down. And it blew me away. It was, I think for a lot of people, it was a shock. It was not a, I think in our minds, we have an idea of the types of programs and the types of athletic departments and the level of play. And, you know, we could actually get into that a little bit. There's a psychology involved there. Furman was not at the top of my list of schools that were going to cut athletic programs, and specifically baseball, and then men's lacrosse, which, full disclosure, my wife has worked some men's lacrosse. I have gone with her, so I've seen more Furman men's lacrosse than I have any other, all the other men's lacrosse teams in the United States of America combined, Kelly Gramlich. I've watched more of Furman.
And so they were your team, you could say.
That's correct. It was a new team. And they're like 6 years old. They had barely started to build anything, you know, at the school. And I guess you could say they hadn't built up like a history or anything like that. So maybe that's why they go by the wayside. But I'm kind of sad for them too. But particularly for baseball. And I know Brad and Ben, they had a great interview with Rudy Cox in hour number two. Good friend of the station, friend of the program, a really good dude, and just to get some of his thoughts. And for a lot of them, I think there's going to be some days and weeks where they're going to try to formulate thoughts and opinions on where they go. I mean, it's not exactly a great job market right now, you know, and so you feel for them. And it's not exactly a great job market for players who are in the transfer portal either, because of the way that everything has shaken out. So, I mean, just a lot of things to consider with this. And, Kelly, I'm interested to hear your thoughts from a different perspective of somebody who's lived here for a few years but maybe didn't grow up with a knowledge like Furman's over there in Greenville and with sort of like a built-up history of what Furman is.
This is terribly sad. I was shocked to see the news yesterday, as I think most people were. And I feel so much for the student athletes and the coaches, first and foremost, these people that have devoted their lives to either the baseball program or the lacrosse program. And again, just 2 months ago, had no idea any of this was going to happen. I think that's really been the jarring part of all of this with the coronavirus, is that it just happened so quickly and then things changed so much in a small amount of time. So I feel incredibly bad for those student athletes and especially those coaches. I mean, that's their livelihood. Rudy Cox, as you mentioned, good friend of the program, friend of mine from college. I feel for him right now. And there's no doubt in my mind that he will land on his feet, but it's just a tough situation for everyone. And it almost puts sports in a real world context, right? Because we're seeing so many people out there with jobs outside of sports or even in sports that are being furloughed or let go or whatnot. So we don't want to just say, oh, we feel sorry for the Furman baseball coaches and not everyone else who's dealing with these real world issues as well. This has been a problem throughout the country during all of this. But I also feel so bad for those student athletes. This is where they thought they'd be 2 months ago. They were playing baseball. Life was good. They were trying to get their degree. Everything was on track. And then 2 months later, it's all gone up in flames. And that is incredibly unfortunate for those players. I would just say this. I know you're saying it's going to be a tough job market and I would say transfer market for these players. They'll find somewhere to go. I think they'll land on their feet. Most of them will look back and hopefully can think this is something that set them on a new path, on a good path, something that shaped their future. But I know right now, in the middle of it, no one wants to hear that. And I completely understand that. So, incredibly unfortunate situation. And I just have a lot of questions. We're going to have Matt Conley on at 12:25 to talk about this. Everyone's saying they were blindsided by this. We hadn't heard, I know you said you got a tip yesterday, but we hadn't heard rumors about this before coronavirus or anything. So it makes me wonder, you know, did this decision come just in the last 2 months? What were there issues building before that with Furman? I know that Furman is a smaller school and they're a private school. So if they are planning on a certain number of students not coming back to campus or not enrolling on campus, that could really affect their bottom line. I would imagine there's so many other things that can affect bottom lines with academic institutions right now. So maybe we'll find out more and more as more information comes out. But part of me thinks this couldn't have just been a decision that came to light in the last 2 months. It had to have been a bigger decision. I would hope that maybe they were already having monetary issues in the athletic department and things like that. If this was a decision made just quickly in the last 2 months saying, okay, we got to do something because of coronavirus, that's really, really upsetting that would just happen so quickly. I want to say this too, Kwok, because I know people over there who work at Furman, this had to have been one of the most difficult decisions ever. And I wouldn't want to be the person having to make those decisions. So it's an incredibly unfortunate situation any way you look at it.
I have a lot of questions. Obviously, we know that we've been saying for weeks there were going to be some casualties of, and I think we're looking toward football season, but understanding the mid and low major landscape of college athletics, not having an NCAA basketball tournament is also a big deal. And getting that revenue washed away, we talked about how big of a deal that was, it like a third, right? That the payout mm-hmm. was in the 600 millions and it was down like around 300 million, a little bit below what the NCAA, you know, sent out to the schools. This is going to be jarring. I think my main question, as it pertains to just to this decision-making process, in which I don't have all the information, I don't have as good of a working knowledge as I do of, like, for instance, Clemson about, you know, some of the decisions and the decision-makers and all this kind of stuff. I just want to know why they didn't try. That, to me, is the most frustrating thing.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of anger. I mean, look, I'm looking at another program. Chicago State may cut their baseball program. People were so mad. They had, like, a Zoom call or something where people were going to voice complaints. And it got really ugly, like people throwing around expletives and threatening people and all kinds of stuff. So they had to shut it down and privatize the meeting because there was so much anger. I feel like a lot of these decisions are made to basically just flatten these programs without being like, look, this is how much we need, and going to donors and alumni and saying, if you can raise, it's kind of like the UAB situation. If you can raise this much, we can keep going.
Yeah.
I don't like that they didn't try. You got 125 years of history in your baseball program. You're sitting on a $700 million.
Do we know they didn't try?
Well, they didn't complete a season. I mean, they didn't even try to complete a season.
Well,
did they go to donors in the last 2 weeks?
No one was going to complete a season.
Right.
What are you saying?
I'm saying no one else has tried to. I mean, look, two baseball programs have shut down so far. Bowling Green was one, Furman's the other one. There wasn't possibly enough time to go to your donor base and say, can we raise enough money to fund the season?
Gotcha. Okay. I see. Well, we don't know that for sure, but it makes it, the timing seems odd because again, just two months ago, we shut down the ACC tournament.
Right. Why would you not put out an
ACC
tournament?
Or I would say
look,
13 weeks ago.
We are struggling cash wise. We're struggling for this year. And obviously this is a big deal. Instead of just being like, nope, board up the building, everybody's done, and we'll see y'all later. Or really, we'll see y'all never. I mean, you just shut out 125 years of history to your school. I mean, good luck getting any donations from any former baseball players. None of your former baseball players' kids are going to go to school there. Men's lacrosse is a pretty affluent sport, so good luck getting donations from the parents of
men's lacrosse
players.
Wasn't that the only D1 lacrosse program in the state? I read that yesterday.
I believe so. I believe that's right.
That's
and like
sad.
I said, they hadn't been around for a long time. They did just construct a new building based on a hefty donation in honor of a player that died. I found that out today, like within the last couple years. One thing that I just can't wrap my mind around, they're talking about saving, you know, $5 million annually over time, you know, for the next X number of years or whatever. But again, Furman, in the last 20 years, Furman has increased its endowment from less than $300 million up to $700 million. What is that for? There's a $5 million, probably momentary, you know, for the next handful of years, a $5 million in the red situation that hopefully you'll be able to get yourself out of. They've raised a ton of money in the last 20 years to help upgrade the school and to some degree. Why did you build up all that nest egg if you weren't going to use it for a rainy day situation like this? If you didn't say we're going to try to stopgap this thing and see what happens, and then in 12 months, if we're not going to make money, if it's not sustainable, then we'll let it pass. They didn't give the coaches a chance to go raise money. They didn't give the student athletes a chance to go raise money. They didn't give fans the chance to go and show up and support the team and sell out every game and help increase revenue that way. They didn't try. They spent 2 months in lockdown, and I understand that the president, AD, and a bunch of the coaches took cuts. Those are momentary cuts. They took cuts for this 1 year to try to figure it out for this 1 year. Baseball's gone. Furman baseball's dead. It died yesterday. And they didn't even try to save it. They basically stabbed in the heart. And they stabbed Furman men's lacrosse in the heart, and they didn't try to save it. And for Brett Harker and for Rudy Cox and Taylor Harbin and all the folks at Furman, who I thought were doing a good job, and nobody has anything bad to say about them, I feel like they deserve the chance to try to save the program. And they just didn't. They didn't get it. And I fail to see where, especially a sport like baseball, that's not costing a ton of money, relatively speaking, that also, because of the 11.7 scholarship rule, most of your players are providing most of their tuition by some other means. So you're erasing actual tuition dollars to the university when you take away baseball. Clock. You're taking away affluence from men's lacrosse. I don't understand how that solves your problem.
I would say that baseball is a rather expensive sport. I don't think it's a super cheap sport. You just said it wasn't that expensive. I think baseball ends up being a pretty expensive sport.
Well, based on what it brings in. I'm talking about what it loses. Because okay. People do show up to the games. Because
you've got
to
buy all that equipment. You've got a lot of players on that team. I know you only have a certain amount of scholarships. I understand that. But
a lot of them are paying tuition.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of those players, and a lot of those players, because Furman's heavily out of state, a lot of those players are paying $50,000 a year to go to school there.
When we have Matt Conlin coming up when we get back, I want to read this from FurmanPaladins.com, the things that they're doing in addition to this. They announced this yesterday, the Furman Board of Trustees, a voluntary 20% salary reduction for the president and a voluntary 10% salary reduction for vice presidents, ADs, head coaches for football, men's basketball, and other highly compensated employees. 5.5% reduction in operating budgets for the next fiscal year, a reduction of 2.5 percentage points in Furman's contribution to employee retirement plans, summer furloughs for employees and diminished workloads, 2 weeks of furlough for all other employees. And then this is the interesting one, discontinuing baseball and men's lacrosse programs immediately, reducing the total number of athletic scholarships by 45 over the next 5 years.
And that is in addition to cutting the two sports. So that's not even including those two.
Yeah, that's
if
an
I'm,
and
if I'm
reducing.
Reading that correctly.
That's
right.
A good point. So if you just take the 45, and I looked up Furman's tuition, it's, according to Google, 50 grand. 45 times 50 grand is $2.25 million. And that's just the tuition you're paying in a scholarship, much less everything else you provide.
These are not easy decisions. They're mm-hmm. very, very difficult decisions. We'll talk to Matt about it in just a little bit. I just would have liked to see him try to save it. I just felt like there wasn't a lot of will to save it. And that's really sad and is really disappointing to me. Stay with us. We got a lot more to come. Hour one continues. Matt Conlin from the state joins us next.
Electric City Crane Service, here to service any and all of your commercial and residential crane needs. Trust the local pros with over 50 years of experience in steel erection, roof trusses, and material lifts. Electric City Crane Service can also set new AC units and move or relocate hefty equipment in a safe and efficient manner. Ready to help you in every step of the way? Leave it to the certified professionals at Electric City Crane Service. Call 225-5351 today, 225-5351. Go Tigers!
Your family's health is number one, and that's yet another reason to feed them with the freshest meats, poultry, seafood, and produce from the Corner Butcher in Clemson. Highly recommended on social media, the Corner Butcher offers exceptional quality product, great personal service, and it's all prepared right there in the store. Fillets, briskets, strips, chicken, seafood, and fresh produce. Your family will thank you for healthy food, and you'll be supporting local business. The Corner Butcher, Patrick Square, Clemson.
Clemson is all about traditions, and one of the very best is the Tiger Sports Shop. Tiger Sports Shop was founded in 1974 by legendary coach Dr. I.M. Ibrahim, who started the national championship winning men's soccer program at Clemson. So they love Clemson and don't sell any other college apparel. They continue to be locally owned and operated and carry their own Tiger Sports Shop collection branded merchandise, which is quality apparel at a reasonable price. Visit them downtown Clemson and 1102 Tiger Boulevard or at tigersports.com.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla is urging everyone to stay safe during these trying times. We are open with your safety in mind. Take advantage of 0% for 84 months on all remaining 2019 models and 0% for up to 75 months on 2020 models. Now is a great time to take advantage of 0% for extended terms, big rebates, and stimulus incentives. New, pre-owned, parts, service, or body shop, we have you covered. Online at edwardsautosales.net or visit us in Walhalla. Always save extra with no dealer or dock fee.
Fridge had enough after the extra action in the house these last several weeks? Now you have an excuse to get the new one you've been wanting. Lowe's can help with up to 40% off select appliances during our appliance savings event, including an LG InstaView side-by-side refrigerator for $12.99. With a generous amount of space, you'll have even more room to store your family's favorites. Get it fast by ordering at Lowe's.com or via our app. Best part, we're offering 12-month special financing and free delivery. Offers valid through 6-3. Free local delivery and credit applies to appliances $2.99 or more. Subject to credit approval, exclusions apply, U.S. only.
All the sports that's fit to air. Brad and Ben in the press box. Weekdays from 9 till noon on The Roar.
I'm the kind of brother who've been doing it my way, getting my way for years in my career. And every lover,
y'all. Hour one continues out of bounds. William Quagamush, Kelly Gramlich. We are live here on a Tuesday, May the 19th, 2020. There is no question that when we're talking about some of the sacrifices, some of the decisions that athletic departments are going to have to make, that the vast majority of schools in this nation are going to be impacted to some degree. Look, Boise State, hardly an athletic department in financial distress. Boise State furloughed its athletic staff, including football coaches, had a mandatory furlough. Iowa State and a handful of others, Iowa State, I believe, is the first in the Power 5 level, has asked their coaches to, like, forego bonuses and take pay cuts this year. These are not easy decisions. They really are not. And they're based on dollars and cents, and they're based on projections. And a lot of you have questions on the health care text line, 961-566, and a lot of your questions are valid, and unfortunately, I mean, Furman put out releases with official statements, and he put out the frequently asked questions section that Kelly just cited. And other than just telling you how much it's going to save, they really haven't answered a lot of the questions. Was it necessary to immediately cut the program now as opposed to waiting to see if, you know, if donations can fund it, like I talked about? That, to me, is the rub here, is that they didn't really give him a chance. Matt Conley's done a little reporting on this. He typically covers Clemson for the State. And follow him on Twitter, @MattAtTheState. He joins us right now, a very good friend of the station, a good friend of the program, talking about this and other things going on in the world of sports. Matt, what's up?
Hey, Qualt. How are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing great. Before we get to Furman, I got to ask you, I know your sympathies in terms of professional sports lean toward mine. I know you watched The Last Dance. I know you did. And Reggie Miller, I was excited that he was in there, but it made me very sad. What were your thoughts on the end of The Last Dance and Michael Jordan ruining lives in the state of Indiana?
Well, I'm sad it's over for sure. I mean, I loved watching Jordan. The few years I watched him growing up when I was kind of that age, Reggie Miller was always my favorite player growing up until Dirk came along. So I loved Reggie Miller. I hate that he never got a ring. I remember the rumors around when possibly he'd come back and try to win a ring with like the Lakers or someone late in his career. And I was kind of just rooting for that just because I felt bad for him. So yeah, it was fun to watch and relive some of those memories, but also still sad for Reggie.
Matt, it definitely was. And let's get to the topic of the day with Furman. Tell us what you heard yesterday. How did you find out about this? And I know it's a developing story, so maybe just lay out a breakdown for us on what's going on with Furman and the fact that they're cutting baseball and men's lacrosse.
Yeah, so someone actually it tweeted, and I don't even know who the person was, to be honest, that they had heard a rumor that Furman was doing away with baseball. And so, you know, I didn't really think much of it at first, but I figured I'd do some checking. And so I started calling around to a few people I know over at Furman, and they kind of said we can't really say anything right now, but that kind of hinted that something was coming, and ended up finally getting in touch with someone who said, Yeah, unfortunately, we're doing away with baseball and men's lacrosse. So really tough news. It's really heartbreaking for the players, for the coaches. I think for everyone, it just kind of blindsided all of them. And, you know, talking with a player and a former player last night, they were really upset. I mean, the baseball program has been around since 1896, and, you know, they have played South Carolina and Clemson regularly and play all over the state. And I love what they do as far as raising money for cancer. They have a game where they shave their heads. And, you know, I cover South Carolina and Clemson some, and so I would go to those games and cover them sometimes, and they would shave their heads to raise money for cancer. And it's just a program that I've always been fond of and really had a lot of respect for. And so just really hard news yesterday to kind of see that happen.
Very interesting stuff, Matt. And I just feel like, again, as Kelly said, it's a developing story. But a lot of people, I mean, the explosion of questions, because it did come out of nowhere. It was blindsiding to pretty much everyone. Some of the questions, particularly of, like, how deep did these meetings go? How much time was put into this? Like, do we have any idea of Furman's timeline and what those meetings look like and other contingencies that they were offered? I know they had a consulting firm come in, but do we know any of these things right now that they maybe suggested possibly to put into place as opposed to cutting these sports?
Yeah, I don't know a lot of that right now. You know, I do know that this is not necessarily baseball, but that they had been trying to figure out ways to kind of cut back costs and spending with athletics, and I think that was actually in the release. And I've heard some rumors as well that baseball was something that they could have been looking at even before this came along. And, you know, this maybe just sped up the process a little bit. And, you know, I don't know about baseball necessarily. Like I said, that wasn't mentioned in the release. The release just said that they were already looking at ways to kind of cut spending, and they had to expedite that with the coronavirus. But I do think that this is maybe something that they have been looking at a while now, and just kind of just sped up the process and forced them and made them do it quicker. The fact that, you know, the money that they're losing right now and kind of everything that the university is going through.
Matt, what have you heard about this decision as it pertains to some other factors that, again, I'm just assuming here and kind of talking out loud, but if, for example, if football, if we only play conference schedules and Furman doesn't have their pay game with Tennessee, right? Or maybe there's a shorter basketball season and so the Furman men and the Furman women don't get pay games from other schools. Do you think that was a factor in this? Have you heard anything about that?
Maybe a little bit, but I think that was more something that they would look at down the road if that ended up coming to fruition. Like, I think this is more about just what they've lost as far as, revenue from, I guess, the cost of going to school there, the tuition, all that kind of stuff, more so than it is money from football. So I think that the football side of thing is something that they would have to look at down the road, and it may be something that they continue to look at if those games end up not taking place, whether it be this year or even further. But I don't think that really necessarily had a ton to do with it. You know, one thing I did think was interesting was talking with one of the players from Furman yesterday, is he was saying that in the men's golf team, this happened a few years ago in 2014, I believe, and they ended up bringing the program back in 2017 and raised enough money and were able to do that. And he said that they were basically told that that wasn't a possibility for them, and they didn't really give exactly how much money that it would cost, but just told them that, you know, this isn't something that it's really an option for you guys, and said it was pretty much impossible to raise the money that they need, and didn't even really give them a shot. It doesn't sound like, to try to find ways to raise money and stuff. So I think that was something that was disappointing for the current players as well.
Visiting with Matt Connelly from The State. Follow him on Twitter at Matt at The State. We're talking Furman's decision to implement furloughs and salary cuts and then to drop baseball and men's lacrosse altogether yesterday. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Again, this might be highly speculative. If the NCAA men's basketball tournament is played and we still shut down, I said that it might be a factor. Do you think these decisions are made? In other words, how big of a deal was it that the cut that the NCAA was giving out to schools was significantly hindered by the fact there wasn't a tournament this year?
Yeah, I think that probably maybe had something to do with it, but I don't know necessarily how much a school like Furman gets from the NCAA tournament. I believe it depends on how the Southern Conference does in the tournament, and so I think you get more money the longer you play. I believe it's how it works. I'm not 100% sure. So maybe it has something to do with it. I think there were definitely a lot of factors that went into it as far as having to do this now. You just look at the numbers that they said as far as revenue that they're losing and what they would typically make in a season and make from not having, you know, having to refund the cost of living and the housing and all that kind of stuff where people weren't there. I think that it just all added up. And so I think, you know, that probably contributed to it as well, but just all the different things that kind of happened just all added up.
Matt, I hate to ask this question because I am probably, I'll just say I've been very outspoken about Title IX and how much it's benefited me, how much it's benefited so many women throughout this country. But I know that there are some negative side effects to Title IX, that it can affect some male athletes negatively at times. What have you been hearing about Title IX and the effect and the factor it was in this decision?
Yeah, I don't know if that was a factor. I know that part of it was there are so many baseball players, and so when you're going on these road trips and stuff, you've got 25, 30, 40 guys on a road trip. You're buying hotels for all these guys, money for food, all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't think the scholarship issue is necessarily the problem, but the amount of games that there are in baseball, the travel that's associated with baseball, the amount of players, I think that it was really more of just a financial and just doing the math and saying, look, if we cut this program, we're going to save a ton of money. And, you know, it's unfortunate for the players. It's awful for the players. But I think it was really just looking at the dollar figures and saying, hey, this is how many players are on the team. This is how many guys we have to travel around. You know, we're playing different places all over the Southeast, all over the country. And so we can cut these expenses. This is a way to do it. And I think that's really what it came down to, is just looking at the dollar figures and trying to see which one would save the most.
All right, Matt, I want to shift gears a little bit because I feel like we're getting, I don't know, maybe generally more positive or more optimistic about football returning in the fall. And we've moved from the conversations about not having games at all to having games with no fans. So now, well, maybe we can get some fans in there. Where do you stand in terms of your level of optimism based on what you're hearing from the in-state schools with regards to football in the fall?
Yeah, I think we'll have football in the fall. I'm cautiously optimistic there. I don't think we're going to have 85,000 people in a stadium necessarily, and I would actually be really surprised if we do. My guess is we'll have football and kind of follow social distancing guidelines, at least to start the year, with maybe 15,000 to 20,000 people in the stands and kind of spread out and let everybody stretch their legs a little bit and do some social distancing and you know, that's my guess. I know that Ray Tanner has gone on radio interviews and kind of hinted at that would be the number that he looks at right now is probably the most likely is 15,000 or so. So that would be my guess. That seems to be kind of where things are looking right now. As you mentioned, you know, progress is being made. It seems that progress is being made at least, and it seems that things are trending in the right direction. And so, now, who knows if things change here in the next couple of months. I don't think anyone over at Clemson is in a huge hurry right now to make a decision and say, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is how many fans we're going to have in games, all that kind of stuff. I think we're still a little ways away from that. And so I think they're going to keep trying and hoping and, you know, maybe we get more positive stuff as far as vaccines and that kind of stuff. And maybe they can have full stadiums. But my guess right now is around 15,000 or so.
That makes sense to me. And Matt, beyond football, beyond athletics, let's look at academics, because I saw the University of South Carolina announce that they are going to cancel fall break and they will move to all classes online after Thanksgiving break. So they don't have students coming back and flying back to campus during the peak of flu season. I think this is very smart. I think this is a very interesting way to do this, and this could work really well. Have you heard any more about that, and have you heard anything from Clemson on that front?
Yeah, I agree with you. First of all, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, you don't want people flying all over the country and then immediately coming back and then leaving again. And just, you know, I think the least amount of travel you have to have with people going back for Thanksgiving and that kind of stuff, the better. So I agree with you, first of all, as far as that. And I do think it's something that other programs and other schools are going to kind of follow suit. There's no official announcement from Clemson yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of the way that Clemson ends up going as well. I believe there's a Board of Trustees meeting coming up later this week, and so maybe some news will come from that. But, it wouldn't surprise me if that's what Clemson does as well and kind of follows suit.
Some more Clemson-related news I want to get to. This is the last one for me here, Matt. It seems like Clemson is going to let all their spring sports athletes come back, and we talked about that a little bit, and the steep cost there. You wrote an interesting piece last week on this. What did you find in terms of Clemson's approach there and how it maybe shakes up with some of its peers nationally and what Clemson is willing and able to do?
Yeah, and I thought that was awesome of Clemson to let everyone come back. That's not something that all schools are doing. I think Wisconsin's already said that it's not going to let its student athletes from the spring come back, and they just don't want to. Everyone's kind of hurting for money right now and financially. They just don't want to take on that burden. So I think Clemson's in a really good spot still. I think they've been really, really smart with their money. There's no talk of Clemson cutting any athletic programs or anything like that. No coaches have gone on furloughs or taken pay cuts or anything like that. I think Clemson's done a really good job of not necessarily planning for this. I don't know that any of us thought that something like this was going to happen, but that just having the funds there to where something did come up and they had to maybe take some money that they weren't – or lose some money they weren't expecting to lose, that they would be ready for it. So, last I heard, let's see – Clemson's expecting about 35. Sorry, I was looking at my own story. Clemson's expecting about 35 student athletes to come back for the spring. That number could change based on the MLB draft and that kind of stuff, and maybe guys changing their mind. But they're expecting about 35 student athletes to come back that were seniors, and the cost around $375,000. So it's a pretty hefty price. The fact that they're willing to do that, I think, speaks volumes of Clemson and kind of the way they're doing things.
Interesting stuff. Matt Conley from the State. Follow him on Twitter at Matt at the State. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks Matt,
for all the reporting you're doing with this Furman story. And we continue to read good stuff from you in the State. Really appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me. Hopefully some more will come out about this over the next couple weeks and we can get more of those answers you guys are looking for. Thank y'all for having me on. Y'all stay safe.
Thanks very much, Matt. We appreciate it. Matt Conley joining us from the State. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. And again, we'll get to some of your questions. Whether we can or can't answer them, we'll get to them. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds. Hour one continues in a moment.
Hey, Tiger fans. Don Munson here, voice of the Clemson Tigers. And I want you to know there is no better way to support your Tigers than by being a member of IPTE. Membership starts at only $60 and provides critical support for our student athletes to be champions in the classroom and in athletic competition. Be a game changer and visit ClemsonTigers.com/IPTE or call 1-800-CLEMSON to join IPTE today.
Our homes have been lived in more than ever. Restore your home back to its glory with the help of Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. Get 3 rooms of carpet clean for only $129, plus a complimentary cleaning and disinfecting of common touch services. Visit ZeroResGreenville.com.
You know cars and trucks cost less than Travelers Rest at George Coleman Ford. Did you also know George Coleman Ford is always looking to buy quality pre-owned vehicles from you? Even if you don't buy from them, they can make the process smooth and easy in buying your pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. It's the way George Coleman Ford has been doing business in Travelers Rest for over 86 years and four generations. Whether buying from them or selling to them, trust in George Coleman Ford.
Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley invites you to stop by and check out all the new Yokohama Geolander and Advance Series tires. From May 15th to July 5th, buy a set of four select Yokohama Geolander or Advance tires and you could receive up to a $70 Visa prepaid card or Visa virtual account. Call Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley at 859-1361 or see them online at stscnow.com. Yokohama Geolander or Advance Series tires from Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley.
If you're a mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep on Congaree Road in Greenville. Each mattress is made in-house, and the showroom has the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes your mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house and setup is free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. Visit EngineeredSleep.com for more information. That's EngineeredSleep.com. Sleep like a lamb, rise like a tiger.
Fridge had enough after the extra action in the house these last several weeks? Now you have an excuse to get the new one you've been wanting. Lowe's can help with up to 40% off select appliances during our appliance savings event, including an LG InstaView side-by-side refrigerator for $12.99. With a generous amount of space, you'll have even more room to store your family's favorites. Get it fast by ordering at Lowe's.com or via our app. Best part, we're offering 12-month special financing and free delivery. Offers valid through 6-3. Free local delivery and credit applies to appliances $2.99 or more. Subject to credit approval, exclusions apply, U.S. only.
Hey guys, summer is here, the gyms are open, the beach is open, and the world is getting back to normal again. It's time to get off that couch and get moving again. If you've got no energy, no drive, and have gained a few pant sizes in the last few months, come see us today at Low Country Male. For just $200 a month, we take care of all your testosterone, labs, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and your prescription management needs. It's time to get back to work and get back to making men and America great again. Come see us today in Greenville off Pelham Road, lowcountrymale.com.
Big Zach's Fireworks in Anderson is having a huge Memorial Day sale now through Monday. Get all your favorite fireworks to celebrate Memorial Day weekend. Big Zach's has plenty of fireworks at their two convenient locations, both right off Highway 85 in Anderson, 4604 Clemson Boulevard, and 4512 Highway 81. Big Zach's carries all the latest fireworks as well as your traditional favorites. Celebrate Memorial Day weekend and light up the sky at Big Zach's Memorial Day sale now through Monday.
We're like family here. Crazy Uncle Eddie style family, but family. You're listening to The Roar.
Hey, hey. Oh, yeah, baby. Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. I'm wondering if your love's still strong. Ooh, baby.
All right, hour one continues out of bounds. William Quagamus, Kelly Gramling, thanks to Matt Conley for joining us, filling in a few of the gaps for us on this story of Furman. And again, we know that a lot of you have... Look, Kelly's got the Helter text line. It's just flooded with questions. We actually went through some of them during the break, and like we don't have good answers at this point. And to that end, we're going to go a little deeper into this. And very kind enough to call in and join us, Joe Ripley from WYFF News 4 has been in conversations more on the news side of this. He's going to try to fill in some more of the gaps for us, and we appreciate his time today. What's up, Joe?
What's going on, Quok? Kelly, good to hear you guys. And what a time we're living in, right? I mean, this is crazy. It's a fluid situation. But Furman, we've seen, they've taken action. And so I'm hoping I can answer a few questions for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, what Kelly asked Matt in the last segment, how did you come upon this information that something was going down at Furman? Did you find out like the rest of us, or did you guys get a heads up that something was going down?
No, we saw a tweet, and we just followed up. We actually confirmed it with Furman officials, and they said, hold on, give us a few minutes. And then they sent out this long list, as you guys have seen by now, as the sports world here in the Upstate has seen by now, that Furman's making a lot of moves here all at once. The president, I just spoke to Furman's president, Elizabeth Davis, and she was talking about, we don't want this to be deaths by a thousand cuts. So we decided to, her words, so we decided to release this bevy of cuts, including the furloughs, the pay cuts for administrators as well as herself, and unfortunately the sports programs cuts of baseball and lacrosse.
Very interesting, and a very interesting way to put it. But I understand, I feel like I can understand a little bit of what she means by saying that.
Oh, sure.
You tweeted at me, Joe, and you said that you had talked to the president, as you mentioned, other people there at Furman, and that Title IX did play a role in this. Now, I benefited greatly from Title IX, played a sport in college, and know so many people that have benefited from it so much, but I know that there are a few negative drawbacks to it, especially for certain male athletes. So what do you know about the impact Title IX had on this?
Right. So the sports cuts were coming. President Davis had mentioned that a school of their size, not too large, a private school as well in SoCon, only really had enough money to sustain about 18 programs. So they were looking at cuts. They were just trying to decide which programs to cut. And President Davis told me Title IX did factor into this decision. When you look at, you know, the football team, when you look at the baseball team, it is all men, as we know. And so when looking at that, to keep that ratio because of Title IX, the university had to look at programs that cost money and relatively newer programs. So unfortunately, lacrosse and baseball were in the crosshairs there. Baseball having that tradition there for, 125 years there at Furman. And then the lacrosse program only around for about 6 years. It's interesting, though, guys, that the baseball program has been going on every year since 1896, except during the Great Depression and except during World War II.
Wow.
So if that puts things into perspective for you, what kind of times we're living in right now.
That is certainly a great perspective to have there, you know, as far as this is concerned. And we know it's unprecedented. And look, my next question, the answer might be nobody knows, because I'm not sure anybody has a great plan moving forward. Everybody's trying to figure out how to stop the bleeding, so to speak. But, Joe, I wonder, in your conversations with President Davis, I know a lot of the statements yesterday said this is in furtherance with our vision and we're going to move forward. Do we have any idea what the plan is or what Furman would like the result to be here, other than maybe solvency and getting shed of some financial issues? What is that thing that they're moving toward? Do you have any sense of that yet from the leadership there?
Yeah, so one of the last questions I asked is what will athletics look like in the fall? And President Davis basically told me, we don't know yet. We're getting consulted by, you know, national consultants. We're getting advice from all across the country, looking at what other schools are doing, because COVID-19 has really financially impacted everyone. It's not just Furman. You guys mentioned it earlier on in the program. Other schools are having to face these tough challenges, budget cuts, cutting of athletic programs. And so when you talk about the future, right now they're worried about cash flow, right? You heard Matt Connolly say it a few minutes ago as far as revenue shortfalls, tuition shortfalls. The president told me that their freshman class will be reduced. A lot of people who were looking forward to college now looking at the coronavirus concerns and maybe thinking, I don't want to go as far away from home. She said as many as 180 freshmen, incoming freshmen, may not be coming to Furman this year, which is huge when you think about the tuition payments. At $50,000, you're looking at $9 million right there. And so as far as what school will look like in the fall, it's still a work in progress. We've heard of class reductions. Maybe half the class will stay in their residence halls and their dorms and Zoom into class. The other half might be in the classroom. Luckily for Furman, they're already a smaller school and pretty spread out as it is, so social distancing won't be too much of a concern. But as far as athletics, guys, this is still a very fluid situation.
Joe, this is just fascinating. As you said, it's fluid. It's going to continue to evolve here. Have you heard anything, and I don't want you to speculate, of course, but have you heard anything about how this could affect other smaller private schools in this state or around the country? Do you have any information in that regard?
Oh, I wish I did, guys. Again, don't want to speculate, but the president at Furman, President Davis, was telling me that every school in our region, especially as well as across the country, will face some sort of financial impact from COVID-19. How that plays out depends on the school, of course. I've reached out to some of the other schools in our area, have yet to hear back, but best believe, guys, that this is not the first we will hear about some sort of budget cuts. Unfortunately, I wish I could say it won't be the last we hear of athletic cuts, but when you think about cost-saving measures, schools, unfortunately, have to look across the board.
Once again, visiting and very gracious to join us, Joe Ripley from WYFF, joining us here on the news side of this story. I'm sure you guys are going to cover it from all sides at WYFF. And I got to say, you know, in the last couple months, a lot of times we go to WYFF, we're like, where's the storm, Chris Justice? Tell us where we're going to get hit. Tell us how big the hail is. Tell us how hard the winds are. So, you know, it's nice for sports and news to get a little piece of the pie. What kind of stuff can we expect from WYFF on this story coming up today and then following through the rest of the week?
Great question. Yeah, Julia and Mark, you guys might know them. The sports team is fantastic. Unrivaled coverage here in the Upstate. So they're going to have much more coming up in sports. I'm going to cover more of the revenue side. I mentioned a few teasers there about the incoming freshman class, losing some of that money that Furman could count on in the past. Also going to talk about that Title IX aspect of deciding which programs, athletic programs, to cut, and a lot more coming out of my interview with President Elizabeth Davis over there at Furman, guys.
Joe, we really appreciate it. Follow him on Twitter, at JRipley, WYFF4. He is Joe Ripley from WYFF. Very good friends, those guys over there. And, Joe, we appreciate you reaching out to us.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Giving a little bit of insight here is really helpful. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for what you all are doing.
Absolutely. Thank you for what you're doing. Joe Ripley from WYFF. Give that man a watch. Click the links at WYFF4.com. I'm serious when I say that. Like, when I turn on the news, I'm thinking, Lord, Chris Justice is going to tell me which part of our area got ravaged today. And, like, that's basically it. But now the news and sports get center stage for once as we, you know, we're in a bit of a Noah-style flood here where it's rained for 40 days and 40 nights. I tell you what, let's take a phone call. Slooper's been hanging on through that, 654 Roar. Before we go to the top of the hour, we'll get his thoughts on this and some of Joe and Matt's comments. What's up, Slooper?
Hey, Quag and Kelly, how are y'all?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
Doing good. So I wanted to kind of talk about this whole Furman baseball thing, but I wanted to kind of approach it in terms of the whole landscape of college athletics. And this is what half of my brain says, we went through, you know, 2 to 3 decades of just raking in cash. I mean, athletic departments were swimming in money, and I feel like we never held athletic directors accountable for what they spent and the liabilities that they took on. It's not normal in the, you know, private industry to offer a guy $20 million contract and then a year later, you know, say, hey, it didn't work out. We're going to scratch that and we are going to move on to another guy who's also going to cost us $20 million. And it was just universally accepted. We were just like, okay, yeah, because, you know, we got it. It's fine. And now it's coming to the point of, man, why didn't these institutions save money? I know Clemson does a great job of being, you know, fiscally responsible, but there's a lot of institutions out there that I'm telling you right now, they all decided they wanted to go Division I football when everybody was raking in money. And now there's no way they're going to be able to meet their financial responsibilities to everything they got to pay out. There's just no way. And I just kind of feel like athletic directors and presidents in general across the country, they're part of this now. If you're cutting programs now after 2 months of bad times, we're talking 2 months, you're part of this. You're the way you operated for the past 2 decades, whoever that president at school is or all the presidents, all the ADs, you're part of the reason why that program's getting cut now, because your plan to have your nest egg was not good, and you spent above your means, and you didn't save. And I'll also say this, Qualk, I agree with you in the fact that those kids didn't get a chance, and that if you're calling me every year and I'm a Furman alum asking me for money for your endowment that doubled and went to $700 million, then you know what? We're going to take at least a year or two and try and get through this. And if you can use that money to get through this. That's all I'm asking. Now, if the whole world changes for a long period of time and you just cannot feasibly do it financially, then okay, scrap it. But you're right. They didn't even give it a chance. And that kind of bothers me that, one, the presidents and ADs are part of the reason we're at this point, because you can't be running a business where this happens and in 2 months you're done after 125 years of baseball.
Right.
That is crazy talk. And I'll also say this. There is underlying issues at Furman between athletes and the administration currently. And you can look on Twitter to find it. This is no secret. But
Slooper,
there are former players.
I got to run.
And
apologies.
And
I apologize. Got to run. Hour two's next.
From the priority one.